Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman member by Avram Golder and today is Zikud Shavuos Daf Mem Hey, the seventh parak Kol HaNishbayin. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that if a socher, a hired worker, claims he was not yet paid and the employer says he already paid him, the socher swears and collects his wages. The Gemara asks why the rabbis instituted this law, and Rav Nachman says in Shmuel's name, Tekanos Kvuos Shanukan, permanent enactments were taught here. Fundamentally, the employer should swear that he paid to exempt himself, but the rabbis removed the shvuah from the employer and placed it upon the employee, enabling him to collect Mishum Kedechaya because of the employee's livelihood. The Gemara ultimately explains that Baal Bais Torah B'Polim, who the employer is preoccupied with his workers and may mistakenly think he paid when he did not. Therefore, the rabbis allowed the employee to swear he was not paid and collect. The Gemara asks that if so, he should not even need to swear, and answers, Kedei lahapis daito shel baal bayis, to appease the mind of the employer, who would be frustrated if the employee could simply claim he was not paid and collect. Point number two, the Gemara asks, if a socher can swear and collect his wages because the employer is preoccupied with his workers, why does a braisa state avers manav nasanlo? Once the time for payment has passed and he claims the employer has still not paid him, he cannot swear and collect. It explains chazak im baal bayis over b'baal talin. There is a presumption that an employer does not violate the prohibition to delay payment overnight. Although we are concerned that he may mistakenly believe he already paid, that is only before payment is due. But kimat hizman chiyuva, once the time of his obligation arrives, ramei anav shev u'midchar, he places it upon himself to remember if he is not yet paid. Although there is also an opposing chazaka that the socher would not steal and falsely claim he was not yet paid, the employer has a second chazaka supporting him, dein socher mashes charo, that an employee does not delay collecting his wages. And point number three, Shmuel said that a socher can only swear and collect where he was hired in the presence of Edim. Otherwise, mitoch sheyachol lomer lo, lo schartich ma'olam, since the employer could have said to him, I never hired you, yachol lomer lo schartich v'nesati lo scharcha, he's also able to say to him, I hired you, but I paid your wages, and is believed that he clearly remembers having paid. Other Amoraim agreed and praised this ruling, but Rava objected that if this migu is legitimate, shvuah shomrim dechayv rachmana heichi mishkachazla, how can you find an application of the shvuah that the Torah obligated a shomer to make when he claims the item is lost through an onus? Since he can claim, well, you dvarim ma'olam, the entire deposit never happened, he should be believed to claim the ensu. It was lost through an unavoidable incident. Even if the pikadon was originally given in front of Edim, he can still claim, Chazarti locha, I return the pikadon to you, and should be believed to claim the ansu. Rami Bar Chama answers that the shvuah applies where the pikadon was recorded in a shtar, so the shomer cannot claim he returned it. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that if a sakhir, a hired worker, claims he was not yet paid, and the employer says he already paid him, the sakhir swears and collects his wages. The Gemara asks why the rabbis instituted this law, and Rav Nachman says in Shmuel's name, Tekanos Kvuos Shanukan, permanent enactments were taught here. Fundamentally, the employer should swear that he paid to exempt himself, but the rabbis removed the shvuah from the employer and placed it upon the employee, enabling him to collect Mishum Kedechaya because of the employee's livelihood. The Gemara ultimately explains that Baal Bais Torah B'Polim, who the employer is preoccupied with his workers and may mistakenly think he paid when he did not. Therefore, the rabbis allowed the employee to swear he was not paid and collect. The Gemara asks that if so, he should not even need to swear, and answers, Kedei lahapis daito shel baal bayis, to appease the mind of the employer, who would be frustrated if the employee could simply claim he was not paid and collect. Point number two, the Gemara asks, if a socher can swear and collect his wages because the employer is preoccupied with his workers, why does a braisa state avers manav nasanlo? Once the time for payment has passed and he claims the employer has still not paid him, he cannot swear and collect. It explains chazak im baal bayis over b'baal talin. There is a presumption that an employer does not violate the prohibition to delay payment overnight. Although we are concerned that he may mistakenly believe he already paid, that is only before payment is due. But kimat hizman chiyuva, once the time of his obligation arrives, ramei anav shev u'midchar, he places it upon himself to remember if he is not yet paid. Although there is also an opposing chazaka that the socher would not steal and falsely claim he was not yet paid, the employer has a second chazaka supporting him, dein socher mashes charo, that an employee does not delay collecting his wages. And point number three, Shmuel said that a socher can only swear and collect where he was hired in the presence of Edim. Otherwise, mitoch sheyachol lomer lo, lo schartich ma'olam, since the employer could have said to him, I never hired you, yachol lomer lo schartich v'nesati lo scharcha, he's also able to say to him, I hired you, but I paid your wages, and is believed that he clearly remembers having paid. Other Amoraim agreed and praised this ruin, but Rava objected that if this migu is legitimate, Shvuah Shomrim Dechai Rachmana Hechi Mishkachazla, how can you find an application of the Shvuah that the Torah obligated a Shomer to make when he claims the item is lost through an onus? Since he can claim, well, you Dvarim Olam, the entire deposit never happened, he should be believed to claim the answer. It was lost through an unavoidable incident. Even if the pikadon was originally given in front of Edim, he can still claim, Chazarti Locha, I returned the pikadon to you, and should be believed to claim the ansu. Rami Bar Chama answers that the Shvuah applies where the pikadon was recorded in a shtar, so the Shomer cannot claim he returned it. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem Hey, and our standard Siman is Manishtana. Manishtana, we often use Pesach in the Siman. So here goes. At the Pesach supermarket, the kid saying, Manishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answer, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees. Followed by, Manishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And pointed to one who came after payday and another who wasn't hired in front of Edim. Once again, slow motion. At the Pesach supermarket, the kid sang, Ma nishtana, ma nishtana. That must be more daf. Mem hey. At the Pesach supermarket, the kid sang, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that if a sakhir, a hired worker, claims he was not yet paid, and the employer says he already paid him, the sakhir swears and collects his wages. The Gemara ultimately explains, Baal Bais Taru, the employer is preoccupied with his workers and may mistakenly think he paid when he did not. Therefore, the rabbis allowed the employee to swear he was not paid and collect. The Gemara asks that if so, he should not even need to swear, and answers, Kedei lahapis daitzer shel baal habayis, to appease the mind of the employer, who would be frustrated if the employee could simply claim he was not paid and collect. So at the Pesach supermarket, the kid saying, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answer, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees. Followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And point to one who came after payday, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, if a sakhir can swear and collect his wages because the employer is preoccupied with his workers, why does the braisa state, Avriz manav u'nasan lo, once the time for payment has passed and he claims the employer has still not paid him, he cannot swear and collect? It explains, Chazaka ein baal habayis over b'baal talin. There is a presumption that an employer does not violate the prohibition to delay payment overnight. So at the Pesach supermarket, the kid saying, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answer, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees. Followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And pointed to one who came after payday and another who wasn't hired in front of Edim, which reminds us, Shmuel said that a sakhir can only swear and collect where he was hired in the presence of Edim. Otherwise, since the employer could have said to him, I never hired you, he is also able to say to him, I hired you, but I paid your wages, and is believed that he clearly remembers having paid. So once again, at the Pesach supermarket, the kid saying, Ma nishtana, why is this worker allowed to swear he wasn't paid? And answered, because the boss was preoccupied with his employees. Followed by Ma nishtana again, why can't these two workers swear? And pointed to one who came after payday and another who wasn't hired in front of Edim. All right, so now it's time for four Balabat Chazara. Daf Memov. So the Siman Daf Memov is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must be one Daf Memov. The grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that although there's no shvuah d'oraisa for someone who completely denies a debt, he must swear a shvuah hesis, which is midrabban. The Gemara seeks a nafkamina between a shvuah d'oraisa and a shvuah d'rabban, since he must swear regardless. It first explains, mepach shvuah, if the nitva can reverse the shvuah, meaning instead of swearing to be exempt, demand that the toveya swear to collect. He cannot do so for a shvuah d'oraisa, but he can reverse a shvuah d'rabbanan. So the grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two edim, so the borrower must repay in front of edim. Which reminds us, Rabasi said, "Hamalves chavero be'edim." If one lends his friend in front of edim, tzarich lefaro be'edim, the borrower must repay him in front of edim, and is otherwise not believed to say he repaid. Shmuel disagreed because the borrower can say, Pratich bifnei poni uponi v'holchu lehemu min yasayam. I repaid you in front of poni and poni, and they went overseas and can't testify. So the grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two edim, so the borrower must repay in front of edim, and taped a reminder note on her rocking chair that anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. Which reminds us, a man once demanded repayment of 100 ziz loan, and the nitba replied, it never happened, meaning I never borrowed from you. Witnesses came forward and testified that he did borrow the money, but had already repaid it. Rava argued, anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid, since according to his claim, he never borrowed, he would never have paid. Therefore, although Aiden testified that he paid, he must still pay based on his personal admission, as Rashi explains, because Udaz Baldin Kamei Aiden, a litigant's admission is like 100 witnesses testifying. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simran Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Beis. The mobster who was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment but claimed it was sitrai, which reminds us, a lender once demanded a payment of 100 ziz loan, which the borrower claimed he paid, but the lender replied, hani sitrai, these monies were for a side debt. Rav Nachman said, itra shtar, the document is weakened since the lender agreed he received payment and he could not collect with the shtar. Rav Papa said the shtar is not weakened. So the mobster was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment, but claimed it was sidrai, got nachas from his mobster son who got a modem of mixas out of someone who borrowed money from his dad, the boss, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one does not swear against the claim of a katan, but then states that one does swear to a katan. Rav explains that this case is Bevo Batanis Aviv, when he comes with his father's claim, following Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, who ruled that if one says a mon of your father's was in my possession and already paid half of it, he must swear. The Chachamim say, he's like one who returns lost property and is exempt from swearing. The Machlokes is ultimately explained based on Rabbah's rationale for the Shvua, a motive amidst us. So the mobster who was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment, but claimed it was sitrai, got nachas from his mobster son who got a modem of mixas out of someone who borrowed money from his dad, the boss, and was careful to claim only cash, knowing there's no shvua for avadim karka or shtaros, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, ve'el dvarim she'ein nishbayin alehen, these are the things about which one does not swear, avadim shtaros karkos ve'hekdeshos, slaves' documents of debt, land and hekdesh. Additionally, a thief does not pay kefil for stealing them, and one would not pay 4 or 5 times the value after stealing and shechting or stealing an animal of hekdesh. A shomer Chinam doesn't swear about these items that their loss was not due to his negligence, and a Shomer Sachar does not pay if their lost or stolen. Rabbi Shimon says one does swear about Kachin Shechai Bechrayu's son. Daf Mem Gimel. So the similar Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The lender who said he gave the borrower magazines. Magazines? That must be more on Daf Mem Gimel. The lender said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up into the window, which reminds us, modem mixes requires admitting to a defined amount, such as one who claims the produce filled the house at aziz, up into the ceiling beam, and the nitba responds it was only filled at a chalon, unto the window. So the lender said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which reminds us, in a dispute about the value of a Lost Mashkon, the lender swears, because perhaps the borrower will swear to the Mashkon's value, he may err in his assessment, and this lender will produce the deposit, and the borrower will become disqualified for Eidus and Shvuas. So the lender who gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which was next to a lost sickle-handle mashkon that a lender lost, which resulted in his not being able to collect the 1,000 zuz that he had lent. Which reminds us, Shmuel taught that if one lent 1,000 zuz, and the borrower gave a handle of a sickle of little value as a mashkon, avakata de magla avet alpa zuzi, if he lost the sickle handle, he lost 1,000 zuz because he could not collect it if he does not return the mashkon. However, if the mashkon was 2 sickles and he lost one, we do not consider each handle as against half the loan. Rather, he merely deducts his actual value from the loan. Daf Mem Dalet. So the simmer Daf Mem Dalet is mud. So here goes. The borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks, that must be more on Daf Mem Dalet, mud. The borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzhak Darshan, Uchat Yad Stoka, and for you it will be a charitable act when you return the mashkon as needed. Im eino kona mashkon tzedakah minayin lo. If the lender does not acquire the mashkon, why would returning it be a charitable act? Mikanu bal chov shekona mashkon. From here we see that a creditor acquires a mashkon. So the borrower who surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, which reminds us that Braisa teaches that if one lends money with a mashkon and Shemitah arrived, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Afu b'sheino shava el apalga, even though the mashkon is only worth half the loan, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. The prohibition to collect a loan after Shemitah is oyigos, do not press, and pressing for payment is unnecessary when he has a mashkon. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that if the mashkon is worth the full value of the loan is not canceled, otherwise it is canceled. So the borrower who was surprised to learn that mud bricks he gave as a mashkon were acquired by the lender, and disappointed to learn that Shemitah does not cancel his loan because of them, was suddenly approached by a hired worker covered in mud who swore he hadn't been paid for stacking those very bricks and had rights to be paid on the spot. Which reminds us, the seventh parak begins, Kol nishbain shebatorah nishbain v'lo mishalmin. All those who swear midaraisa swear and do not pay, meaning the defendant swears to avoid paying. The Gemara derives this from v'lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalem. Its owner shall accept the shvua, and the shomer shall not pay, teaching misha ala v'lo shalem lo shvua. The one who is potentially responsible to pay is the one with the shvua obligation to avoid paying. The Mishnah continues, ve'el nishbain v'notlin. But these swear and collect based on a rabbinic decree. Hasachir, a hired worker, a nigzal, a nechbal, shkeneg do chashudal, one whose opposing litigant is suspect about swearing falsely, the chenveni alpin kaso, and a storekeeper regarding his ledger. The Mishnah explains that if a hired worker claims his wages and the employer says he paid, the worker can swear and collect payment. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we learn a shvua obligated by an eid echad only requires a claim of a pruta? That's on daf mem. Good. Number two, which daf did we learn that the reason a hired worker can swear and collect his wages is because the Baal Bais is preoccupied with his employees? That's on daf memhei. Good. Number three, which daf did we learn about the severity of swearing falsely and the fact that the whole world shook when a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Osisa Hashem Hashem El Kech Hashav? That's on daf Lamatas. Good. Number four, which daf did we learn that a sucker cannot swear and collect once the time for payment has passed? That's on daf Memhei. Good. Number five, which daf do you call Omer lo levisi, call Omer lo parati dami? Anyone who says I have not borrowed is like one who says I have not repaid. That's on daf Memhav. Good. Number six, which daf do you discuss differences between a shvuah deraisa and a shvuah derabanan? One being that a nitva can reverse the shvuah and make the toveya swear to collect. That's on daf Memhav. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn that according to Rav Asi, if one lends in front of Edim, the borrower must repay him in front of Edim? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number eight, which daf do we learn that a sucker hired without Edim cannot swear to collect? That's on daf Mem Hey. Good. Number nine, which daf do we learn about a shvuas hesed? So that's on daf Mem. Good. Number 10, which daf do we learn Shmuel said, if one claimed against another wheat and barley, and the nitva admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear? That's on daf Mem. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.